Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
American Redoubt. This is episode 1922, the 22nd episode, the 22nd Sunday evening podcast of 2019. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Hey, before we go any further, I just want to remind you guys, for those of you who may have forgotten, for those of you who've been with me on the journey since the beginning, thank you and happy anniversary to all of us. June 5th. Was our very first podcast of 2011, June 5th of 2011, which means this year was our 8-year anniversary. And it just blows my mind how much time has passed, how far we've come, the journey we've been on, and my goodness, the things that we have gone through together. I want to thank you guys for your prayers of support, but I almost didn't get a show put together today. I was scrambling. I mean, I'm running behind trying to get the stuff together. And I had an idea in my head of what I wanted to cover today, but man, I almost didn't do a show because there was some stuff that the research that I was planning on using, all of a sudden it's going sideways. It's sources I don't want to use, people that are off the rails and tied to some bad things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't have a backup plan. But anyway, it ended up working out, praise God. And so here we are. But I got started late in the day because I was with Lady Liberty killing groundhogs this morning. I got a brand new Ruger Precision 17 HMR. That's a 17 caliber varmint rifle. It is deadly. Oh my goodness. I got a used Nikon scope from a pawn shop. And it's a really nice scope, but I got it for like about $100. And anyway, mounted it on this new rifle. I've not bought myself a new rifle in a long time. This thing's beautiful. It's the burnt bronze precision. It's got a 2.5-3 pound trigger, crisp as can be, and deadly. I mean, it was we got kind of carried away killing groundhogs. Found this, there's this beautiful place with all these rock outcroppings and just hundreds of these. This is what we call a target-rich environment. And we had a blast. We kept taking turns. And Lady Liberty is deadly with a rifle. And so we just kept taking turns. I'm going to have to get Lady Liberty her own Precision 17 HMR. So, but it's kind of fun trading. Anyway, that's what I was doing this morning. And it was just, I haven't gone varmint hunting in so long. It was just great. It was just a great way to spend a morning in the American Redoubt. So anyway, let's see. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. I want to make sure that I can get to it all in time. And so let's do it with the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out, including the audiobooks, the collapse and the rebuilding of the American socio-political economic system. It's a great adventure. Check it out at 299days.com. All right, our first story takes us, well, we want to keep a close eye on Venezuela so we can track the successes of socialism. Once again, here's another headline. This one from Reuters, with Venezuela in collapse, towns slip into primitive isolation. Let's see. At the once busy beach resort of Patanimo. Tourism has evaporated over the last 2 years. So what they're saying, though, is they're losing power, commercial power. Phones are in and out. They can't use money to buy anything because they don't have money, and the money that they do have is absolutely worthless. So what they're doing is they're establishing a barter system. So exchanging fish, coffee beans, and hand-picked fruit for essentials to make ends meet in an economy that shrank 48% during the first 5 years of President Nicolas Maduro's government, according to recent bank figures. Venezuela's crisis has taken a heavy toll on rural areas, where the number of households in poverty reached 74% in 2017. Of course, that's gone up since, compared with 34% in the capital of Caracas, according to an annual survey that was carried out by private Venezuelan universities. So they're slipping into the dark ages. Coffee for fuel. The barter system. And we talk, there's a lot of our dystopian novels have tracked, you know, Bosnia and Zimbabwe and other economies, you know, once thriving economies that have failed. And they build oftentimes the black market systems emerging in their stories, but it's because there's a historical precedence for it. So have something of value, be able to produce something of value. And I know a lot of you guys do that, things that you can make with your hands or things that you can produce and barter and trade. It's really great examples of that. And a lot of these books that we've read from James Rawls' Patriots all the way through the 299 Days series, the Going Home series, Mark Goodwin's books, excellent. All of his stuff is just awesome. Really, from a Christian perspective, dystopian novels. Good stuff. So, man, do some reading, some more reading. All right, Mexico freezes 26 accounts linked to funding caravans of illegal aliens. It's about time. Why did these sanctions should have been put in place a year ago, as far as I'm concerned. But, okay, so Mexico finally is their tax officials froze the assets of 26 individuals and entities that they allege are tied to human smuggling organizations or to promoting Central American migrant caravans. The caravans moved thousands of individuals from the Northern Triangle through Mexico with the Mexican government's help, I might add, to the U.S. border. The funding for the migrant caravans allegedly came from the U.S., England, Africa, and Central America organizations within each of these countries. The operation that they conducted tracked financial movements from October of 2018 through current dates in an attempt to determine the sources of funding for the migrant caravans. According to their statement, the UIF identified a group of individuals that made several questionable international financial transactions from the cities of Chiapas to Querétaro during the times that the migrant caravans were moving through those places. So basically, long story short, they tracked those buggers down and seized their assets. But, of course, there's New York Times is right there to try to snatch away any success story from President Trump. And Trump just went on a Twitter rampage this morning saying that these people, the slipstream media, New York Times in particular, are truly the enemy of the people. And, of course, New York Times is, gasp, you didn't say that. You said that we're the enemy of the people. President Donald Trump opened up a whole new thread of rage on Twitter Sunday in response to the devastating New York Times report. What they're doing is they're saying Mexico's concessions, you know, the seizing all these accounts, were not a result of pressure from tariffs, but rather months of preparation. Like, they were already on. This had nothing to do with President Trump's hard-line negotiating tactics. No, this was already in the works. So no credit to you, President Trump, they're saying. Well, we know that these guys have no track record. I mean, they have a track record of lying, of misinformation, of half-truths. That's why they're called fake news, and they just get all bent out of shape when they're called fake news. And this is the kind of stuff that they do that makes us lose faith in them. Well, WesternJournal.com, another one of our alternative news sources, because we can't trust the mainstream news anymore. And these guys always do a really great job. They key in on some good stuff. And I saw this article actually about a week ago, and I lost it. And it came back around, thank goodness. Children from Philadelphia Islamic Center issue a threat in their video saying, "We will chop off their heads." Aw, how adorable. A video from an event at an Islamic center in Philadelphia, the Religion of Peace, shows Muslim children saying they are willing to sacrifice themselves and chop off the heads of the enemies of Islam. That's you and me. And why are we enemies? Because we're not Muslim. The Muslim American Society Islamic Center in Philadelphia posted the video on its Facebook of the children participating in the center's Ummah Day celebration on April 17th. The Middle East Media Research Institute posted the video on YouTube, as well as a translation of the children's statements on its website. The Western Journal has not independently verified Memory's translation. But the quotes are, "Those who reject oppression are the ones who assert their existence, and they eliminate the injustice from the land of the Arabs," one child said. And the children then sang, "Rebels, rebels, rebels, glorious steeds, call us and lead us onto paths leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The blood of martyrs protects us. A paradise needs real men," these children are singing. Off with their heads. Yeah, that's just adorable, isn't it? You know, here's another story, too. Let's go a little further north. Canada, which is already off the rails and probably about 10 years ahead of us. I don't know. We're trying to catch up pretty quickly. But there's a article at Big League Politics that's titled, "Yes, Canada is actually arresting Christian pastors and banning them from preaching in public." They're saying it's no longer legal to preach the word of Christ on the Canadian streets if others are offended. A Christian pastor named David Lynn was arrested and charged with disturbing the peace with quote-unquote derogatory comments on Tuesday. Now, they're not even saying a message of hate. They're just derogatory comments for preaching the word of God on a street corner at Church Wellesley Village in Toronto. After the disciple of Christ was harassed by a group of unruly protesters, he was hauled off in handcuffs by law enforcement because preaching the gospel was considered to be a criminal violation. The LGBT mob, we're getting to the truth, cheered as the man was dragged away in handcuffs, a sign of things to come if their perverse agenda continues unabated. And he says, "It's unfortunate that I'm subject to this kind of discrimination." No. It's not unfortunate that you're subject to this kind of discrimination. You are being persecuted for your faith. Count it as a blessing. You're persecuted for Christ. That's a blessing. But I know what you're saying. This is unjust, and we should stand against evil. And it is evil, and evil is unfortunate. So I get what you're saying. But just want to try to, you know, find a silver lining on your situation there. But he says, "Discrimination and bullying and marginalization simply for saying God loves you. There is hope for you. I accept you and tolerate you. I shouldn't be in this position. I didn't do anything illegal," Lynn said following his arrest. He is now out on bond. He said, "I didn't know this was the start of the Pride Month. I didn't say anything specific to the LGBTQ community. It's all on live stream," he said to reporters. So here's the thing. Just saying God will forgive you, he loves you, well, that implies that they're doing something wrong that they need to be forgiven for, which hurts their feelings and makes them feel convicted. So therefore, you need to be removed from the street and even arrested. Because, I mean, they didn't even get that far to say that what he was saying was hateful. They're just saying that it was, what did they say? Derogatory comments. Now can get you arrested. So much for, they don't have a First Amendment there, but they do have the right to speak out. but only if it's Antifa approved speech, apparently. Next story, the Gateway Pundit. An elderly man in New York was arrested for shooting two burglars in his house, not for murdering the intruders, but for shooting them with an unregistered gun. He heard people in the garage coming up the stairs to the kitchen. When they got to the top of the stairs, he told them to stop, but one started coming toward him. He fired three or four shots and struck both. And that's how the scenario played out. A 64-year-old Ronald Stolarczyk did what he had to do when two burglars had broken into his home. But he's been arrested and charged with felony gun possession because investigators believe he used his deceased father's gun, which he never registered to himself, to kill the two suspected intruders. He didn't register the gun that his father gave him, so now he's the one who has committed the felony. This happened in Deerfield, New York, about 40 miles east of Syracuse. And to make matters more infuriating, it turns out that the now room temperature pair had previously robbed Stolarczyk. Previously. But Oneida County District Attorney Scott McNamara is shifting the blame for the robberies to Stolarczyk, the man who defended himself, calling him a hoarder and implying that he was just asking to be robbed. Well, that's like having a nice-looking woman in a dress and makeup saying she's just asking to be sexually assaulted because she was wearing a skirt where her knees were showing. So she's just asking for it. Is that what you're going to say, prosecutor? You're going to accuse the victim? Shift the blame? Of course, in this case, it has to do with firearms. So, gosh, anything they can do to demonize the use of firearms, even in self-defense, which is really interesting how California has a law. They will arrest. This is one of the grievances for those in Liberty State or the state of Jefferson wanting to break away from California is that it is lawful. It's on the books that you can legally use lethal force, a handgun, a firearm to defend yourself, but it's illegal to carry one. So, it's illegal to carry one, but it's legal to shoot somebody with one if your life is in danger. That's one of the grievances. And I know there are certain places where you can have firearms in California, but they were talking about an area where that was applicable. But the world is just losing its mind. It's just going insane. You haven't lost your mind. No matter what they say to you, you're one of the few sane people, all right? You're not one of the few. There's many of us that are sane. But it's just like the insane is taking over the asylum. And it really is just a minority who's taken over the majority. The next story from the Daily Wire, Oregon National Popular Vote Legislation passed. And of course, this just came out. This happened on April 9th. I can't remember if I covered this, but this story here was just published on June 8th. So yesterday, and this was over at, where is this? Oh, the Daily Wire. The Daily Wire published this yesterday, but I could have swore we knew about this about a month ago and covered it. But just in case I didn't, the Oregon National Popular Vote Legislation has passed. Governor is expected to sign. On April 9th, the Oregon State Senate voted 17-12. To pass legislation, that was their Senate Bill 870, to join the National Popular Vote Compact. On Wednesday, the State House of Representatives voted 37-22 in favor of the legislation. So now all it needs is the hardcore leftist, I would say socialist, if not communist, Governor Kate Brown is going to be all too happy to sign off on this if she hasn't done so already. So no more electoral college vote on national elections. If you live in Oregon, it's time to vacate that state and move to somewhere that's great, like Idaho. Now, no, stop moving to Idaho. Move to Liberty. Move to Liberty. Fight for Liberty. You know, this was something else that I started to get into yesterday with the news and a news article. Well, no, I was talking about a meme where people are spreading around saying stop moving to Idaho. And what's interesting is people are saying stop moving to Idaho because you're going to Californicate Idaho. You're going to ruin it. Even if you're a patriot and a conservative, it's just getting too crowded. It's getting too wall to wall. You know, stop moving to Idaho. And what's I find interesting is that the folks that are trying to get out of those places, they're the ones, the patriots, the whole point of it was to fight for your rights, fight for your heritage, fight for the things that you value, you know, and where you are. Where you are living. But I understand sometimes you can just get completely overrun. But we've got to spread load this. Idaho is getting hammered with patriots, conservatives that are moving into the heart of the American redoubt. And there's plenty of room in liberty, and we need you to fight for liberty. And that was my point. The folks, the conservatives in eastern Washington that are seeing the insanity, the lunacy that's coming down the pike in Olympia are saying, I'm moving to Idaho. I'm out of here. But those are the same people that are moving to Idaho and abandoning Liberty State. They won't fight for Liberty State. They're the same ones that are saying about somebody in Guatemala or somebody in somewhere else in Central America or Mexico saying, why are they coming here and ruining our country? Why don't they fix their country where they are? They should stay there and fix it and fight and overthrow their government or change their government or BFB instead of just running away to our country. Well, these same people are saying, I'm out of here. I'm out of eastern Washington. I'm moving to Idaho. Well, you know what? You need to fight where you are, especially if you are in the American redoubt. You got to make Liberty State happen, folks, over there in eastern Washington. There's no alternative. Idaho's spilling over. And you got to fight for it. You got to fight for it if you want it bad enough. And capitalize on it. There's plenty of grievances that have been articulated. And there's plenty of impetus there. And get the people behind it. Get involved. Get in the fight. Come on. Redoubt News. Government lied about data on school shootings. Are you surprised? As the liberal left continues to push for more gun control, the media conveniently ignores what they themselves have determined, that the data showing the enormously high rate of school shootings is, in fact, flawed. NPR, known for its left-leaning bias, did a study on the U.S. Education Department report stating that nearly 240 schools reported at least one incident involving a school-related shooting, which is far higher than most other estimates. Reporting their findings on the article, The School Shootings That Weren't, on August 27th, 2018, they made numerous efforts to contact every one of those schools discussed in the government report and found that more than two-thirds of these reported incidents never happened. Additionally, it's not as if this report flew under the radar, as many sites, both liberal and conservative, picked up on it and reported it as well, including Reason Magazine, or Reason.com, federal survey wildly overestimates number of school shootings. The Daily Caller, there are way fewer school shootings than the government says. Marginal Revolution reported their headline, most reported school shootings never happened. The National Review, the Washington Post. Additionally, the ACLU of Southern California also was able to confirm fewer than a dozen of the incidents in the government's report, while 59% were confirmed errors. 59% is a huge number, belying the suggestions that it was just a simple data input error. Good job, Sherry Duvalli, over at Redoubt News for that one. And there's another one at Redoubt News, written by Ethan Huff. Public health officials in New Hampshire admit that MMR vaccine actually causes measles. There's a pretty big chink forming in the armor surrounding the pro-vaccine narrative, as health officials in New Hampshire recently admitted that Merck and Company's combination MMR vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella was the true cause of a measles outbreak in the area that rabid pro-vaxxers were quick to blame on the unvaccinated. You guys remember this? Unbelievable. And what's interesting is that people that have gotten the measles vaccine are getting measles. Like a large Jewish community, they refuse to allow them, they quarantine them, refuse to allow their children to attend public school because they weren't vaccinated, and none of them got measles. But those that were getting measles were the ones who had actually gotten the shot. And those that are saying, I'm not going to let my children get that garbage, they're the evil people. Just really, really unreal. Okay, now let's take you finally to, before we take a break, the Stark Raving Mad page of Rhino Hunters, rhinohunters.org. Oh, man, there's a couple of really good stories here. I got to shade. It's Rhino Pack, Rhino Hunters of Inland Northwest. Sheesh. But the website is rhinopack.org. That's P-A-C. Click on the Stark Raving Mad tab. As much as you can stomach it, some of the stories that are there really help remind us of the lunacy of the left. They're absolutely out of their minds, and we don't want to participate, which makes us bad guys. Congolese illegals in San Antonio. A caravan of 350 Africans from the Ebola capital of the world has arrived in San Antonio. Local officials were told they could expect several hundred more of the mostly illiterate military-aged males shortly. Language barriers make communication with the illegals themselves almost impossible. Africans, heretofore, composed a relatively small portion of the masses of illegal invaders, but this appears to be changing as deaths from the Ebola virus explode in their homeland. The current epidemic is the second largest in history. At the current rate, 1,072,000 illegals are expected to cross the southern border this year. That number will be expanded by more than 300,000 anchor babies current illegals will produce. The Democrat open border strategy of white replacement, they call it a quote-unquote, worked splendidly for them in California, and the intent is to repeat their success in Texas. The goal is to turn Texas blue in time for the 2020 elections. And then finally, the second story from Stark Raving Mad. Grade school drag queens, in the celebration of diversity, quote-unquote, that transcends generations, young boys are being dressed up as girls, dresses, makeup, wigs, and all, and being paraded in front of salivating homosexuals at LGBTQ and on, gathering places across Canada. Promoted as the next generation of drag queens, this is beyond grooming. This is like full-on targeting. But promoted as the next generation of drag queens, the dressed-up youngsters flutter their eyes and swish their little butts to the delight of an audience of pedophiles and transgenders who whistle, shout encouragement, and throw dollar bills as the pre-adolescents sing and prance in front of them. Underage children across Canada are being recruited to entertain adults at homosexual gathering places across the nation. It is hoped these liberating performances can soon be brought to appreciative audiences in the more progressive cities of the United States. You can see more on that story by going to the Stark Raving Mad page. If you can stomach it, these stories are true. Now, coming up here, your 1 to 2 minute teaser for this week's Alerts USA Weekly Summary Intelligence Briefing. Coming up right now, and then at the end of the show, we will stream the full length, which is about 4 to 6 minutes of the weekly summary intelligence briefing after Radio Free Redoubt tonight. So stay right there. We'll be back with segment two coming right up.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, June 8th, 2019. This Week in Security News. On Thursday, subscribers were notified of a new Islamic State propaganda poster in wide circulation on social media, which carries threats to the U.S. and White House. Against a background image of the White House and a large cross engulfed in flames is the following English language statement. O worshippers of the cross and its lackeys, coming very soon, the flames of our war and the sound of our swords will reach your White House. Just wait for our attack. Alert USA again warns that many, but not all, attacks by the Islamic State in Western countries have been preceded by the release of propaganda posters and other public threats. Continued vigilance is urged in crowded, unprotected venues. Turning next to the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border, a new report by the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism reveals that the Islamic State had sought to exploit vulnerabilities of the U.S.-Mexico border in order to move fighters into the homeland. According to interviews with captured ISIS fighter Abu Henrique, a dual citizen of Canada and Trinidad, the leadership of the Islamic State sought to take advantage of smuggling routes starting in Central America to clandestinely move English-speaking fighters from this hemisphere across the U.S. border in order to conduct attacks. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security Weekly Update for Saturday, June 8th, 2019.
Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of Ameron. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Ameron.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Ameron.com and click on the Alerts USA banner. Back with segment two at Radio Free Redoubt. We are broadcasting right now from the heart of the American Redoubt in the Free Zone, surrounded by patriots, conservatives, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. And, well, hey, that reminds me, if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the not-as-congested part of the panhandle of Idaho, up in Boundary County. Doing a great job helping folks get strategically relocated at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Check them out. And now, there is something that came up today. It was sent to me by a friend in the patriot community, and I really appreciate it. I wanted to share it with you. It kind of seems like a lot of the stuff that we cover is kind of doom and gloomish. I mean, it's just the negativity, and sometimes I get tired of it. Sometimes I just have to go, I don't know, kill gophers or, you know, go for a motorcycle ride or something like that, just to get away from it all. You have to unplug from this stuff, but you know what? It's the reality of what we're facing today in our culture. If we ignore it, it will be to our detriment. Now, some people have found their way into, I didn't look for this. This kind of found me, what I do with Radio Free Redoubt and Ameron. It's definitely not something that you ever thought you would do when you grew up, right? But this has found me, and I've just received so many encouraging letters from you guys in the audience saying, stay the course. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for what you do, you know, day in and day out. And it's tiring. Sometimes I just want to just go do something else, because this is just the stuff that you got to study and go through and research. But hopefully I want to inspire you guys and encourage you guys, especially to motivate you to action. And those of us that do this, that are in the fight, especially out on the front, which was totally goes against my nature. I'm just kind of a behind the scenes kind of guy. I do not want to be, you know, in the limelight or anything like that. So it's kind of strange that I found myself doing what I do. But what we do, and this is, you know, reading in Jeremiah, just really kind of, it was helpful to me. And we're watchmen. Those of us that are in the fight, that are calling the things out. Jeremiah 31:6 says, "For there shall be a day that the watchmen up on the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion according or unto the Lord our God." These are the guys that are on the lookout. They're up on the wall. They're watching for the dust clouds of an enemy army approaching, right? They're looking for signs of danger. That's their job, to sit there and wait and watch and look for the signs of impending attacks by the enemy. And Jeremiah 51:12 says, "Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon." There's actually like 25 scriptures about watchmen that are actually I like better, but these two just were jumped out at me. I really love Jeremiah anyway. But what this friend of mine sent was, it's called the Watchman World Report. And he writes about the small piece about, this is Jonathan Kahn. Okay, and this is from the Watchman World Report. And so he says, you know, he got to meet the Wormbrands, you know, Richard and Sabina Wormbrand. They were imprisoned, you know, over in not Russia. I'm drawing a blank here, where they were in Romania, and they were part of the underground church, running secret underground churches, which they were forced to do, like many people even today have to run underground Christian churches, so that the to avoid their pastors, their leaders, from getting taken away, arrested, imprisoned, or even killed, and to avoid having the children taken away from them, never to be seen again, because they're put in foster care, raised by parents to specifically to purge their Christian roots from them, raise them up in communism or atheism of some sort or another. So it was important for them to have an underground church. Things that we think, you know, will likely be in some form or fashion be necessary for even us in the future in the West. Whether you're in Canada, you're not too far away from having secret underground non-government approved churches. If you want to read the word and speak the truth, not too far away. And the United States is really trying hard to catch up with them. Europe is gone. Toast. Sorry for you guys, especially the Patriots, conservative Christians over there. But yeah, they're already there. You have to move to the European redoubt, which is Hungary, the only Christian nation, I think, left in the world. But this Watchman World Report just goes down a list, a bulleted list of things that they've observed in our world. Just this is just to track the lunacy. And of course, you don't have to go very far. Just look at any of the alternative media. Look at the headlines and see where our country's going. But I'm going to go down this list. I want to read this to you because this is what watchmen have to do. We're pointing to the adversary. We're just pointing to the evidence that there is an attack that is forming against us that we have to take action on. We have to be prepared to defend. And this is spiritual warfare, right? But also we have to be moved to action as well. All right. So that means, you know, a whole host of things, but getting involved in your community, like joining this 500 moms against this drag queen transvestite pedophile reading hour at the libraries in Spokane, of all places. There, I suspect there will be a huge, turnout for the protest. That's encouraging to me. That's action. You have to pray. You have to take action. You have to stand against this stuff. Public schools across the U.S. are incorporating meditation practices in the classroom and placing children who don't wish to participate in the hallway, according to a religious liberty legal group. A Chinese warship that appears to be carrying a next-generation hypersonic railgun has been spotted on social media, implying that China has become the first country in the world to develop the weapon. Next bulleted item. Biological women who legally define themselves as men will not be routinely scanned for breast and cervical cancer, even if they retain these organs and remain at risk, the National Health Services has said. New school program in Australia teaches children to question gender and dress up in Islamic clothing. Well, that's going to be go over really well. The transgender Muslims. Well, if they just all wear a burqa, you won't know, right? Israel, next bulleted item. Israel will not be part of a body that continually rewrites history, including by erasing the Jewish connection to Jerusalem. Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Dannon, told INS, or JNS, UNESCO is manipulated by Israel's enemies and continually singles out the Jewish state for condemnation. Wisconsin is now paying for sex reassignment surgeries and hormone therapy for state employees after trans-identified workers sued the state. A YouTube channel for kids is facing controversy after posting a video of a pro-choice activist working to convince children it's okay to have an abortion. Brave New World. Gay man impregnates transgender partner who identifies as male. These are really happening in our world today. Our grandparents, I miss them, but I'm glad they're gone not to see this. This year, the state of Mississippi is adding In God We Trust to all of its standard issue license plates. Hallelujah. They're going to be hated and scorned. They're going to be ripping and shredding them in the news. New York City residents will now be offered these options for describing their sexuality on their birth certificate. Male, female, and X. They're not the only ones actually doing that. Marvel Comics announces its first drag queen superhero. Boy Scouts are on the verge of bankruptcy as Christians continue to flee the organization. This is kind of blurry. I can't really read it very well. First openly bisexual senator is sworn in, but on the Constitution and not the Bible. Kirsten Sinema, I believe is what it says. Sinema. New Hampshire City allows atheist flag to fly over the Ten Commandments monument. The Washington, D.C. Attorney General says a restaurant will be fined $7,000 for stopping a transgender woman outside a bathroom and asking for her ID. Wow. A devout Christian dishwasher and a mother of six who was fired by the Conrad Hotel in Miami, Florida, for refusing to work on Sundays, was awarded $21 million in punitive damages by a federal jury Monday after she sued for the violations of her religious rights. UK hospitals allowing men to stay in women-only wards if they identify as transgender. Large numbers of young adults who frequently attend Protestant worship services in high school are dropping out of church. 10-year-old baby drag boy photographed with naked adult drag queen. Wonderful. California pastor loses job after posting a sign stating homosexuality is still a sin. Lost his job. Well, good. You probably shouldn't be going to that church if they have a propensity for firing pastors for speaking the truth. Chinese officials wipe away the first commandment from church display because it challenges the power of the president. One of the nation's leading atheist legal groups has sent a warning to over 1,000 public school districts, telling them not to take field trips to Answers in Genesis creationist attractions in Kentucky. European court rules against German homeschooling family, and top university opens all gender locker room to be more inclusive. Those are just bulleted points. Of course, the publication that you subscribe to goes into more depth explaining these stories, but these are just bulleted snippets from this. And, you know, we can't ignore these things and look the other way because they're uncomfortable. These are reality. They're after our children, and they're after their souls. Jeremiah 6:17 says, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." So when watchmen are calling these things out and sounding the trumpet, don't say, we will not hearken. We're just going to go on about our lives, doing the cool things we want to do, and ignore all that negativity because it's doom and gloom and so yucky that there's other cool stuff to do over here and that will distract us from having to look and be aware of that stuff over there. Plus, I've never been into politics and I've never been an activist and that kind of stuff. There's 500 moms that are asking for you to join them next Saturday at 2 p.m. on the South Hill in Spokane. It needs to be a show of force. You can't ignore this stuff. The watchmen on the wall are pointing this stuff out. Are you going to say, we will not hearken? Or are you going to rise up at the sound of the trumpet and gird yourselves and engage in spiritual warfare and move to action as well? Just think about that. Pray about it this week. Segment 3 coming up here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Going into segment 3 of Radio Free Redoubt, this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host, John Jacob Schmidt here. And our sponsor for segment 3 is Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive, and also to help you get the most out of your property as far as water, food, energy, and security, and securing your water rights. And they also do this remote, they offer remote consulting services. So if you're not in the American Redoubt in close proximity to them, they can still help you out. So visit them at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now, something that also has been in the news cycle a considerable amount lately is the shadow banning, the major social media giants taking on the role of being the politically and social correct social justice warriors by blocking hate content, what they call hate. Of course, hate is a very subjective term. It's an emotion, right? And by the way, there was a great article, a great video that was posted that kind of put that into perspective on hate over at Kootenai County Did You Know. It's also posted on the Radio Free Redoubt Facebook page as well. But here, once again, there's another article from the New York Times. YouTube to remove thousands of videos pushing extreme views. Of course, what's extreme? They're not removing the Islamic extreme views. They're not removing Antifa's stuff. So far as we've seen, I got a letter from a listener, and he said, John Jacob, great. Well, here we go. I'll read it to you. Hey there. I've been listening to the podcast for a couple of months now. Love it. Thanks for what you're doing. Next, I'm sure it will come as little shock to you, but your website has been labeled as militancy, hate, / extremism, and so is being blocked by my employer's web proxy. So I told him, I said, well, I'm not surprised. I said, I wonder if Indivisible is being blocked by them. And he checked, and nope, Indivisible is not blocked by my employer. Indivisible, the hardcore leftist, extremist leftist groups that are overtly leftist, Marxist, and have repeatedly aligned themselves with the known terrorist organization Antifa, they're not blocked. But imagine that. Well, something that came to light for me just today, I thought this was really cool. White House launches a site where you can report anti-conservative bias from tech giants. On the heels of President Donald Trump's repeated assertions claiming anti-conservative bias by tech companies, the White House has launched an online forum asking the people to share their experiences if they think political partisanship has led them to be silenced by social media sites. Oh, yes. I'm sure there's plenty that just the stuff is flooding in. I know personally of multiple examples of just Facebook alone, but there's the YouTube. I mean, it's out of hand. The White House's official Twitter account tweeted a link to the forum Wednesday. You know, I'm surprised Twitter hasn't blocked President Trump for extremism and hate. But they said that the Trump administration is fighting for free speech online. The tweet continues that no matter your views, if you suspect political bias has caused you to be censored or silenced online, we want to hear about it. On the first page, the bare bones online forum reads like a tweet from the president saying that social media platforms should advance freedom of speech. Yet too many Americans have seen their accounts suspended, banned, or fraudulently reported for unclear violations of user policies. And that has happened a lot. There's actually several links underneath this article. You guys go check it out for yourself. This was posted at New York Times. But underneath at the bottom, they said other related stories. Ex-Facebook employee leaks dozens of troubling documents suggesting censorship of conservatives. And NRB calls for congressional review of tech giants over censorship of conservatives and Christians, stating it's unacceptable. And a whole new level of censorship, another article, Facebook blocks activist Mommy, PragerU, and more. PragerU is awesome. If you guys have not seen Prager University, I want to urge you to go check their stuff out. It's just absolutely awesome. We've posted a lot of that stuff on Radio Free Redoubt's Facebook page. And Facebook hasn't, I don't think they've blocked us real overtly, but of course most of our stuff's in the podcast. And Franklin Graham suspended by Facebook and blocked for his biblical quote-unquote hate speech. Anybody that says there's only one God and there's only one way to get to him is through Christ, well, that's just, and everything else. The truth is just extreme. to this world today. So that's really encouraging. There is an article that came out by comdiginews.com under their business and money section. Confronting authoritarian social media. Time to bring in the trust busters. The truth busters. Trust. No, it is trust. I read that correctly. In the coming weeks and months, U.S. Attorney John Durham will reveal the extent to which deep state government agencies misuse their overwhelming power to spy on Donald Trump. Spygate controversies is the much larger role played in this scandal by gargantuan social media companies. While gathering private information for the biggest federal spy agencies, they simultaneously stifled voices opposing their encroachments on the lives of American citizens. Clearly, the time has come to confront America's increasingly authoritarian social media companies. And it's time to bring in the federal trust busters. It's estimated today that some 35,000 people punch secret time clocks as they begin their workday at the National Security Agency. Interestingly, Facebook employs roughly the same number of thralls to monitor our personal photos, posts, and political views before passing them on to their intelligence colleagues. As Edward Snowden, former NSA contractor turned whistleblower, tweeted, "Businesses that make money by collecting and selling detailed records of private lives were once plainly described as surveillance companies. Their branding as social media is the most successful deception since the Department of War became the Department of Defense. Authoritarian social media companies, leftist embeds, hide in plain sight." Okay, so it's true. And this is essentially what I've talked about before. They misuse the label fascism. They're anti-fascism, the left, like Antifa. They're not anti-fascism. Actually, they are communists. They're Marxists. They're communist revolutionaries. They're the street thugs advancing a communist, Marxist, globalist agenda and are inherently anti-Christian, anti-conservative, and especially anti-American, or including anti-American. A real fascism is essentially having private industry do what the government can't do legally. So it would be it is unlawful for the NSA, the CIA, to harvest data directly on Americans' associations and activities without breaking multiple laws. So what they can do, though, is get stuff that is open source where we voluntarily place it out there online. And then Facebook, these companies, it's becoming known now that these companies are working with, as we suspected, with the intelligence agencies, feeding them this information that they can be used to track Americans. So this is, extremely troubling. But back to the fascism topic, doing what the government can't do. Facebook and others, social media giants, they can host all of your information, and then they can block you. They can be the self-appointed police of anything that goes against the globalist, leftist, communist, Marxist agenda. If you promote conservative ideals, the chances are you're going to get shadow banned. You're going to get banned. You're going to get blocked because of the content of your speech, because of the social media warriors. Fascism is also when banks and other industries refuse to do business with you and close your accounts because you're in a firearms-related industry or because and what's coming, look what we said, these social credit scores, like in China, they're coming. You're going to have a low social credit score if you visit firearms-related, pro-life-related, pro-traditional American, traditional families. Anything related to that is going to lower your social credit score. And I really believe that we're going to see the expansion of this fascism to where private industries will refuse to do business with you, just like with the firearms industries. And that's what's coming. So anyway, they're fighting back, and there's ways that you can fight back as well. There's a really good article over at the Charles Carroll Society, and I want to expand on this. There are a lot of really great tools out there for alternative news for you guys to track and follow stuff that the mainstream news media will bury. And then also your social media, where more liberty-minded developers are starting social media platforms where you don't have to worry about being blocked or shadow banned or anything like that. So he lists a few of these. He mentions Gab.com, or also known as Gab AI. Gab. InfoWars is an alternative media. Minds.com, that's M-I-N-D-S. He mentions Parler.com. I believe that was a alternative to PayPal, which we are, I need to reinvigorate that search so that we can find a way around that, so we can start getting away from PayPal because of the ideology, or their anti-conservative ideology. So anyway, there's a lot of great it's a great article with a lot of information about specific alternative media. And I'm going to expand on that. I'm going to assemble a list here very soon, in the next week or two, of alternative social media that we really need to start pushing the Patriots toward, and get weaned from these tech giants that are in bed with our intelligence agencies and that are assisting the leftist, globalist, Marxist, communists in shutting down the voices of those of us who are speaking for truth and trying to preserve our values and our heritage. All right, just a short segment here, and another short segment coming up, segment four, right after this break. Stay right there.
The communists set out to brainwash the people, to destroy their will to freedom, to wipe out their religion and culture. Newspapers were filled with lies and distortions, and still are. Anti-Western and anti-American.
I will also ask the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have... To change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
We're back with the fourth and final segment, wrapping up episode 19-22. Segment four is brought to you by Werkz LLC, W-E-R-K-Z.com, Werkz.com, for their minimalist inside the waistband and outside the waistband holsters, custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made right in the American Redoubt, and have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. They also have the line of Liberty State Seal and Liberty State Flag custom-made holsters, and proceeds from that go to help support Liberty State. Check them out at Werkz.com. All right. We have, I was just starting to get into this in the last segment, talking about marginalization, demonization, dehumanization, then litigation, criminalization, incarceration, and then the final step is extermination. Anytime a group has been marked for persecution. These are the steps that we see, and we can see this sequential, progressive march toward that end. And there's a good article here that I want to point out, and this came from Breitbart. Well, remember, and all of this stuff's going to be in our highlights and resources posting. It gives about 24 to 48 hours to get all that populated in the highlights and resources posting. But anything that I mentioned, you can just do an internet search for it yourself to make things, if you can't wait. But we do want to try to make those available for you guys. Twitter has suspended the account of Eoin Lenihan, a researcher who mapped out connections between the mainstream journalists and the violent far-left Antifa movement on Twitter. I would say militant, following a mass reporting campaign by left-wing activists. Now, this is exactly what, and this couple of these are going to sound familiar. Lenihan published the results of his search at Quillette, where he explained the twofold objective of his project. First, to discover the journalists who were most closely linked to Antifa via social media. And second, to discover if those journalists covering the extremist movement favorably or negatively. So, on Quillette, this is what's posted over there. In October 2018, my research partner and I decided to investigate the truth of this impression by using a mix of network mapping and linguistic analysis to see which prominent journalists who covered Antifa also were closely connected to leading Antifa figures on social media. We then inspected the Antifa-related stories these journalists had written. We created a data set of 58,254 Antifa or Antifa-associated Twitter accounts based on the follows of 16 verified Antifa seed accounts. Using a software tool to analyze the number and nature of connections associated with each individual account, we winnowed the 58,254 Antifa or Antifa-associated Twitter accounts down to 962 accounts. These guys did some research. 22 were found to be verified, of which 15 were journalists who worked regularly with national-level news outlets. The journalists included contributors to The Guardian, The New Republic, Al Jazeera, and The Huffington Post. You guys remember this? The latest several hit pieces that have come out against Representative Matt Shea and myself and others, that was by the Guardian. That journalist has written multiple pieces showing, and he also showed connections. This guy showed connections between that journalist from the Guardian and Antifa and Antifa leaders. So the guy is he's a communist propagandist. That's all he is. Yellow journalism, hit pieces, smear pieces is all it is. The sad part is that the local media, they just run it. They regurgitate it. And then, of course, the unsuspecting and lacking discernment general media read it and take it as truth. Or at least it has an effect on them and it impacts them in a negative way to the patriot community. So propaganda works. Anyway, unsurprisingly, Lenihan's analysis of the journalists who mingle with Antifa on Twitter found that none of them covered the movement critically. That correlation turned out to be quite pronounced. Of all 15 verified national-level journalists on our subset, we couldn't find a single article by any of them that was markedly critical of Antifa in any way. In all cases, their work in this area consisted primarily of downplaying Antifa violence. Yeah, like calling a violent Antifa mob a small group of peaceful protesters, right? So they downplaying Antifa violence while advancing Antifa talking points and in some cases quoting Antifa extremists as if they were impartial experts. Since he published his findings, Lenihan has had his account mass reported on Twitter. Mass reporting is when an account is swarmed by trolls who abuse the report button with the hopes of tricking a tech platform's algorithms into automatically suspending them. Of course, with much of Silicon Valley now categorizing ordinary conservative speech as violations of their terms of service, this is an increasingly easy task. Linehan's account has now been suspended by Twitter for more than 2 days, and then that was as of that writing. And that's the kind of stuff that's going on right now. So it's just another reason why we need alternative media for patriots, and that is forthcoming. What we need to do is push all these grandmas and everybody else who's addicted to Facebook and Twitter because that's how they get to see pictures of their grandkids that they can't live without. All right, that's fine. Let's look for an alternative and make the move. These people are overtly, and not even covertly, they're overtly hostile to everything that we value and we care about. Why give them any more of our data, patriots? That's my question to you. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank you guys for being with me, and I hope you had a blessed weekend. Hope you have a blessed week coming up. Join us next Saturday on ACN, or the ACN affiliate, KTW, out of Spokane. Also live streaming if you're outside the wire in occupied territory. And, of course, all the different ways you can listen to upcoming shows and the schedule for upcoming shows, and then how to listen to all of our previous shows, just go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the Listen to RFR tab, and there's all the different ways that you can listen. Thanks for, hey, our call-in listeners tonight, calling in by phone, our call-in number. That's also listed on that page at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Quite a few more callers calling in right now on their phones. So that's a pretty cool feature. Anyway, guys, God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.